you have to talk a lot in this one.
What?
This is your baby. Welcome back to another Barnes Bullets podcast. I'm your host, Dale Evans, and today we've got a fun podcast to talk about. We are launching a ballistics app. Mm-hmm. I've got Andy Sparks and Mitchell Cookson with me.
Just trying to contain my excitement over here.
Trying to contain your excitement because you've been the guy that has been working behind the scenes diligently on this for...
I don't even know, since
a year, summer?
Almost a year.
A year?
Pretty, it's been, yeah. Since start, it's been about a year, but ramping up this summer and really getting all the new features in.
Yeah. I would say we've been working on this for the better part of a year.
Right.
And then we brought Mitchell in probably 6 months ago to really
ramp
beef
it up.
Beef up all the edits and upgrades and improvements and get it ready to launch.
Right.
But the only reason I'm on this podcast now is because Mitchell came in and said, I am so excited about this one. I am going to be super energetic. And I was like, well, I got to see it to believe it.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So
he's smiling. That's a good start.
That's a good start.
What is this app called, Mitchell?
It is called True Data by Barnes and Sierra.
Yes.
So it's kind of co-branded. It's mm-hmm. not Barnes. It's not Sierra. Both working on it, have both our libraries, but it is called True Data.
True Data. What are we going to find in this app?
Everything you ever wanted. It's going to be great.
Let's elaborate a little bit more.
What type of app is this?
It's a ballistic app.
There we go.
It's got both the Barnes and Sierra libraries, which is really nice, whether you're hand loading, shooting ammo. It's all in there, so you just click on it. Everything will auto-populate, makes it really easy. And then it has everything your standard ballistic calculator has. You can update your weather, get your trajectories, velocity, energy. Has advanced truing features. You can do Bluetooth connections, calculate angles for your shot. It has a ton of really cool features that we'll dive into. But, I'd say everything you're used to on your standard ballistic calculator, but it has some advanced features, and then the great part's very intuitive, and then it has the full libraries. Oh, and then it has Doppler data.
Whoa.
Here. Now I'm excited.
Okay.
Which is a first.
Yeah.
Sierra hasn't, I don't believe there's any ballistic app. Maybe Applied Ballistics has some.
Yeah.
But we're adding Doppler data for Sierra projectiles to not all of them, but select projectiles, the popular ones.
Yeah.
Those are added in.
And that'll continue to grow, right, over
yes.
time, right? Like, just because we don't have them now doesn't mean we won't never have them.
Yeah, what would you say, like, for Sierra's catalog right now in late December of 2025, what do you think the percentages of the Sierra catalog that we have in there right now?
It's pretty small right now.
Okay.
I think we have around 20 bullets. And unfortunately for me, I think I have data on another 20 that I'm supposed to get done that I told Andy I was going to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sitting in my backlog, but there's
so
tons
you could
of
double for all the consumers out there. You could double the Doppler verified.
So when this goes live, if there's 40, you know that Mitchell actually got some work done in the 2 weeks prior.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. About that.
And if there's only 20, you know that Mitchell's hearing about it.
Right. Yeah.
We'll see.
So let's take a step back and just talk about the evolution and the development of this, right? I think this has been a long time coming. I would say, I think Barnes and Sierra are the only two bullet brands, ammo brands, that don't have their own calculator.
Not anymore.
Would you generally agree with that?
Yeah. Some people have them and they're terrible.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, we're pretty much last to the game.
Yeah.
But we're coming out with a sweet app.
And talk a little bit about, because I didn't know anything about ballistic calculators, right, a year ago. So talk a little bit about why you use one, how you use one, why you use it, and the advantage it provides for you, for all the, you know, like-minded Andys out there that don't know why you would use this.
Yeah. So you generally have ballistics on the back of your box here, but that only gets you so far. So these are in 100-yard increments. It tells you muzzle velocity and then your drop over distance. You also got a BC on there. So if you're shooting close range, you're okay with hitting a paper plate at 100 yards, then yeah, use the backs, the back of the box. That's easy. But if you want to shoot at, I don't know, 377 yards, how much drop is that? Do I hold over? Do I adjust my scope? So it's more, I guess, advanced, but it'll give you an exact trajectory. So when you're hunting at longer distances or you're shooting a match, anything longer than a couple hundred yards, that's where you really need a ballistic calculator.
Okay, got it. And we have tested this a ton, right? Not just internally, but externally as well. We have sent this to shooters. We've sent it to hunters, both guys who are focused on, you know, whitetail, to guys that take really long range, 700-yard shots plus, right? And we have incorporated all the feedback from all of those folks. And so
and are continuing to incorporate that, right? Like, this isn't the one and done, like, it's coming out and this is all you're going to see, right? There's going to be more features that are always going to be coming up because we're constantly getting feedback from other people.
And the library will continue to grow,
right?
So I would say let's pick one of the unique features of our app compared to apps that are out on the market. Let's talk through, like, one of the elements that you're most excited about.
Yeah. I really like our weather features. So I've used other ballistic apps, and I was never satisfied with how you enter your weather, because that's an extremely important characteristic of the ballistic calculator that affects your ballistics. Essentially, you're trying to get the air density.
Okay.
So.
And how does air density affect the flight of a bullet?
Exactly the same as your ballistic coefficient.
Okay.
It's a multiplier of your deceleration.
Okay.
Andy's now going to ask how ballistic coefficient affects the flight of your bullet.
Same thing.
I'll pass on that for now.
But yeah, it's very important, just as important as BC. Like I said, they're both multiples of your deacceleration. So if those are off by 10%, if your BC is off 10%, the same thing as your air density being off 10%. So we all know how important BCs are, getting accurate numbers. Same is true for air density. So generally at low elevation, it's not as critical. Say you're in Wisconsin, it's 500 feet, 30 degrees. It's pretty hard to get off. But the problem we have here is I live at 5,000 feet. I sight in my rifle, and then I go up to 10,000 feet. I mean, I've hunted at 13,000 feet, and that's a huge difference. 13,000 feet, 80 degrees, air is super thin. So when you change that much, you have to have really accurate inputs. Otherwise, you're going to get crappy outputs.
Okay. And so how does that get inputted into the ballistic calculator?
So we have three different options, or maybe even four right now. The one I really like is going to altitude. So you select that altitude button, and all you got to do is select your altitude. So right now we're 5150, and temperature, I don't know, it's probably 45 degrees out, and then you're done. So when I'm up on the mountain, I always have Onyx open. I can see, hey, I'm at 7,000 feet, 8,000 feet, whatever. And then usually I looked at the forecast before, and you can get pretty dang close by just feeling it. So that's really what I like to do. It's just two numbers, altitude and temperature. The other method, which is more accurate, is entering a temperature and a absolute pressure. So that's where you could get your Kestrel. You can copy your Kestrel numbers over. That's the most accurate. I don't own one, so I don't use it, but that's the most accurate way. The other cool thing with that too, you can hit the refresh button, and that'll pull local weather.
Okay.
So right now it's saying Mona, Utah, 38 degrees. So it's off seven degrees. And then pressure is 24.84. So that's pulling from probably the nearest airport.
Got it.
But yeah, it's whatever you're doing. If I'm out at the range, I just hit the refresh button, super easy. If I'm on the mountain, I just enter altitude and temperature. And if you have a Kestrel, you just enter what it says. So you have tons of different options depending on whether you have service or not. So if you're up in the mountain, you don't have service. You can't hit the refresh. You got to use a Kestrel or the other method.
Got it. Okay.
So tons of different ways. It also Bluetooths to Weatherflow right now, which is super nice. And hopefully in the future, we'll have Kestrel get attached to it.
Yep.
But right now, during launch, it's not. But like we said, we're going to keep working on things. And there's a few other features that'll get added in just a couple months after we launch.
Yeah, I think we have a massive roadmap, right, of improvements to make once this thing launches. I think we'll hold on those, right? But we are constantly working and constantly getting improvements. So to the consumer who's listening to this and thinking about trying the app, as you play with it, as you you know, practice with it, if you see bugs or you see issues, like write in, right?
Right.
Tell us so we can improve it. Because the whole idea is just make it better for everybody to use. So that's weather.
Yep.
What's the next one on the list on your
most
exciting list?
Why you think on that? This is what I'll tell you that I, right off the bat when I started playing with this app, because, you know, I feel like I got it a little bit after you had been working on it for a little while, right? And I was able to test it some, one at the range, and then obviously use it all through this hunting season, which was super important, and we'll get to that. But what I think is cool is obviously we're doing a lot of these different marketing hunts. Every single marketing hunt I'm doing, I'm using a different rifle, a different load, right? When I'm testing new loads and everything else that aren't even in the app yet, what I would say is that it's extremely easy and intuitive to be able to enter new rifles and new cartridges and then update it yourself, right? Because when I go to the range, I'm putting a chrono out that way that I can get my accurate speeds, right? So I can be able to give, again, like you're saying, making sure that I'm giving it the most accurate data that I can give it, that way that I'm getting the most accurate data out when it comes to making my, you know, one time shot.
A really important point, and I think a lot of people don't understand this. When you talk about ballistic calculators, it's doing the math, it's doing the calculus to get that trajectory. It's getting a solution accurate within thousands of an inch. So some people say, oh, that app isn't accurate, or, well, maybe this one is super accurate. That's not really true. It's as long as you feed it good inputs, it's going to give you a good output. And across the board, doesn't matter what app you use, if it's a good one, they're all going to be pretty much the same in terms of accuracy. But what I think what stands out in true data is the ability to input good data.
Yeah.
So it's easier for the consumer to enter muzzle velocities, BCs, look all that up, get BC data, true things up. It's just extremely intuitive, and that's what, you know, like what Dale's saying, it's just, it's easy to put good data in and get good data out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the whole reason behind the name of being true data, right? Is one that we're doing Doppler, which is, like you said, other than applied ballistics, nobody else really has that. Also that it's very easy to enter your data, right? So true data, like we're giving you the best data that we can possibly give you. Mm-hmm. So now as a user of this app, you need to give the app the best data that you can, so that way that you're always going to have accurate stuff when it's time to hunt.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, you're never going to get everything exactly perfect. There's too many variables. Your scope can be a little bit off, maybe your temperature, your pressure, velocity, BC. There's all variables. So the truing features is where you correct that. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. You know, you're going to always have something off. But as long as you true it, it really doesn't matter. Because if your data lines up, who cares? Yeah.
So talk about the truing.
Yeah. So we just added that update a couple of weeks ago. Had a ton of really positive feedback. I'm just going into the edit bullet section. That's how you get to it. And we have two different things you can calibrate. So you can calibrate your muzzle velocity or your ballistic coefficient. So looking at, in both ways, you can enter these two different methods. So what I like to do, which is actually no other ballistic app has, is measuring the offset or the deviation from your expected value. So say you shoot at a 600 yard steel target. dial up, I don't know, 12 MOA, and you hit 6 inches low. With this app, you're going to tell it, okay, this is my yardage, this is what I dialed to, and now you just enter -6 inches, and then it'll give you a new muzzle velocity. Other apps, you actually have to, okay, you shoot 6 inches low, okay, now I got to dial up, shoot again, okay, I'm 2 inches low, got to dial up, okay, that's it. Then you enter that dialed amount into the calculator, which we have that option too. So you have two options, but the first option, you waste less ammo, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, your first
shot.
Which
isn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
It'd be nice for us. Go ahead and waste your ammo.
Yeah, I was going to say, you choose the second method. shoot more ammo.
Yeah.
But I always shoot, you know, you shoot 6 inches low. Was that me? Was that a low muzzle velocity? Okay, shoot another one. Well, maybe you're 3 inches low. Okay, well, which is it? Is it three? Is it six? Shoot a third shot. Okay, maybe it's six. Okay, well, still shoot a fourth shot. Now you're five. Okay, well, you take an average and you can do that. But if you enter that offset value, then you're done. If okay. you don't, you got to dial up and then reconfirm everything.
Okay.
So that's what I like to do. I can actually drive out and measure things super easy. Some people can't at the range. Like if you're at a public range, you can't go out there and measure. That's what the second option is for.
Okay.
You miss, dial up or dial down until you get it right, and then that's what you enter.
Okay. But so the truing feature is a new feature as well, right? That's one of the things you're pretty excited about. That
yeah.
That took a lot of development.
Yeah, absolutely. And then same thing on the BC. So it works exactly the same, but instead of suggesting a muzzle velocity, it'll suggest a new BC. But the cool part about the BC, which I don't know how many apps do, I don't believe any do it for like the Sierra style tiered BC, where you have a G1 BC for
at different velocities.
Yeah, 2,500 and up, and a different BC value between these two. So it'll actually give you a calibration factor. So it'll be a number between 0.9 and 1.1, and then it just multiplies that whole tiered BC. So it's kind of like Doppler data and applying a calibration factor, which this truing feature does as well. But so you can apply that calibration factor to both Doppler data and tiered BCs.
Okay.
So you have tons of different options. Regular BC, G1, G7, G whatever, Doppler and tiered BC. So really anything you want to do,
yeah,
it can true it up.
Talk a little bit about, because you've mentioned it now multiple times, like Doppler data.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, but just revisit what Doppler data is, how it's captured, and like why that is so important for like a ballistic calculator.
Yeah. All right. I gotta contain myself here.
This is where I gotta calm really down. Excited.
I gotta say I am impressed. Like Mitchell brought his A game today. He is excited. He can't even stop moving.
It's hard to do without a whiteboard. But drag curves, like a G1, G7, it takes the shape of a standardized projectile. Mm-hmm. And it basically compares your bullet to that. And it's never the same. Every bullet has a different drag shape. So it's never accurate for all muzzle velocities, all ranges. And you can get, as long as you true up, honestly, out to 1,000 yards is pretty damn close.
Okay.
But the next level up is Doppler data. So you're no longer comparing to a G1 or G7 curve. You are actually measuring the bullet's specific drag curve. So how we do that, we have a big radar head. It's like a big microwave. It sends out microwaves, reflects off the base of the bullet at a known frequency. Ours is 10.5 gigahertz, comes back. And because that projectile is moving, it comes back at a different frequency. So then you read that frequency in your shift in frequency, you can correlate that to velocity. So all that big microwave is doing is getting a whole bunch of data points, and it's just velocity. And with that, you recreate the trajectory and feed in fake drag data until it lines up with your actual data.
Okay.
So you run a trajectory with your guess, and then you compare it to that big data set of velocity data points, and then you modify it until it lines up exactly, and then you get a custom drag curve.
Okay.
And then we have that in our app, and that's the most accurate drag data possible.
Did you understand all that?
Nope.
That is why Mitchell is so important.
That is why he is the engineer and builds all these cool bullets and apps and everything else.
Yes. I tried to bring it down to your terms, like microwaves, like you know the thing that makes popcorn, like the same ray, the same microwaves, like you're doing that to a bullet.
Who is okay? This? This is great.
So tell us why Doppler data is so important to getting accurate BCs.
Rephrase that.
Oh, he didn't like the question.
Getting, I mean, this isn't a spelling bee. I can't like say it in a sentence or give you the origin. Tell me why Doppler data is so important to be able to get accurate BCs. Like, aren't you using Doppler data to get accurate BCs? Like, doesn't that help you build your drag curve, which then gives you...
They're two different things.
Or did I not understand a single word that you just said?
You got half of it.
Okay.
So,
that's pretty good. I'll take it.
Yeah. So at Barnes, and we post G1 BCs.
Right.
We have an awesome facility here. We have a 300-yard indoor range with Ayler equipment. We measure velocity, and then we measure time of flight, and that gets us...
Ayler equipment being the Doppler equipment.
Nope. No.
Very different.
The Ayler equipment is what's downstairs in the underground range, and it's literally just like microphones, and it can read where the bullet's at, right?
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Dale, you're surprising me. That's very good.
I've learned.
I knew that.
So you have a velocity and a time of flight due to the microphones, and you can get BC. So those are extremely accurate, but we take it a step further. We go shoot Doppler, and then we also verify BC out at the range. So you can do the same thing out there. I told you, we get a ton of data sets of velocity. Well, we can get velocity close and velocity far, or even velocity close and then time of flight at a distance, which is the same thing we're doing here. And I can confirm that BC that we measured here.
Yeah.
So we can measure BC at 300 yards, and then we can measure BC at 300 yards with the Doppler equipment, which is a completely different way of doing it. And then you can measure at 600 too. So actually, the 7 PRC is like a 600-yard G1 BC.
Got it.
But with Doppler, the drag curves aren't, there's no BC. It's just a custom drag curve for the projectile.
Got it.
So we do use Doppler data to reaffirm our BCs, but then we also generate that custom drag curve.
So
we do both.
And we are getting off on a crazy tangent here. But
I like it. Let's
but
go.
I'm sure that the audience is like loving this because this is super deep. So where are you getting your main BCs from? The Ayler equipment?
Generally, yeah. We'll write down, say it shot 608. We go shoot Doppler and it says 610. We'll catalog 608. But if it's like the 7 PRC, most guys are shooting longer distances.
So you're getting that longer distance to be able to use for your BC because that's going to give you a more accurate for that particular projectile where it, quote, should be used or probably is going to be used.
Yeah, exactly. And the BC drops a little bit going from 300 to 600. That doesn't mean our estimate is inaccurate. That means that bullet does not fit the G1 drag shape.
Okay.
So it's just a more accurate way of getting your G1. And as long as you average it, it doesn't matter. I mean, they never fit the drag curve exactly, but if you true it up or measure over a long distance, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
So this Doppler verified data, that's what you have, the 20 bullets for Sierra, right? Mm-hmm. With 20 more kind of in the works, potentially, or ready to go, right, Mitchell?
Yeah, ready to go.
Okay, so 40. And then...
On the barn side.
The barn side, we have a ton. I want to say we have like 75 or 80.
Okay.
But we've been at Barnes, we've been doing it for, gosh, since like 2010.
Okay.
And we've had a lot of time to work through all of our bullets. And Sears had Doppler data for a long time too. And that's how they generated their BCs, but they never went and generated the custom drag curve.
Okay.
Because there wasn't really a ballistic app that could take that.
Yeah.
So we were kind of, Barnes was just doing it just because, and then finally we're like, all right, we got to do something with this data.
And the data we have, I would venture to say on for both brands, is really related to like the most popular bullets, right? Like, like on the Sierra, you know, we started with the top selling bullets, right? And then we've worked our way through. So if you're a user and you're listening and we don't have your bullet yet, like if you're using a nichier bullet, right, it'll just be a little while before that gets incorporated, right? If you're using, you know, the 77 grain Match King, like that's gonna be there, right? Cause that's like one of our bread and butter products. So that's the way we're kind of going about adding to this.
Yeah. I'm probably not gonna do muzzleloader bullets or like 35 rem flat nose, flat base bullets.
Why? Why not?
Cause you're shooting them 100, 150 yards at the most.
Okay.
And at that point, there's no point shooting Doppler.
So at that point, right, you would use the ballistics off the box is what you're saying.
Yeah, you could.
And I mean, for the most part, you're saying basically like anything that's not a high power center fire rifle.
Yeah. It's right. Just stuff that doesn't make sense. Like a lot, we actually have quite a bit of
4570, for example, right? Like doesn't need it because more than likely that's going to be a 200 yard, truly 150 yard and end type of gun.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let's ask a question about like, okay, these are going to have our bullet libraries on it. If there's a user that doesn't shoot our bullets, one, shame on you, but two, are they going to be able to use our calculator with competitor products?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So you can select Barnes bullets, Sierra bullets, or Barnes ammo. They'll populate everything. It's super nice. If you don't, if you're not shooting those, just don't select one and type your own bullet in.
So you can enter the bullet information.
Well,
right?
And a perfect example, right, is that Mitchell and I were just recently on a hunt that I was using a bullet that is unreleased at the point.
Okay.
Right. And I had to build my own bullet profile for that to be able to go use that in the field.
Okay. But if it's in the library, when you select a bullet, it auto populates all the features.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Okay. All right. So we've been through weather, we've been through truing, Doppler data, libraries. What else?
Let's talk a little bit about in the field use.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want to talk about something before that? Because you're
I do. I was getting excited
again. I know, I can see it.
I gotta drop something that people are gonna lose their minds on. Tell me first.
Did you see that? Did you see him get ready for this?
Dude, I'm amped.
Yeah. Tell me
first. Because it
Tell me first. I can mute it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is fine.
All right. Secret's out. Our projectiles, everyone says, you know, modern projectiles, you should use a G7. Mm-hmm. Not true with copper bullets.
Ooh.
And experts all around, they think G7's best. Always use G7. They say, hey, Mitchell, you're an idiot. Why do you not post G7s? I say, no, you're an idiot. I have the power. I have all the Doppler data in front of me, and it G7 really doesn't matter with copper bullets because if you think about it, what looks like a copper bullet? It's not that sleek projectile. I mean, we have a lot of sleek bullets, but copper bullets, they have the cantilevers. Completely changes the drag shape.
Yeah.
So it's not wrong to use a G7, but it's not right.
Okay.
G1 and G7, you can pretty much use them the same. They're going to be both about the same in terms of fitting a shape of a copper bullet's drag.
Okay.
So,
so what about this app and that?
That's just a cool fact.
Yeah. Okay. Fun fact. He just wanted to be able to say like,
you're an idiot.
Yeah. You're an idiot. And I'm not.
I get that so much. You wouldn't believe how many people, you guys are so behind the times. You don't listen to G7. You don't know what you're doing. I was like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Good.
And,
okay. Throw down.
Yeah.
Throw down. But,
sorry.
But don't do it with Harvest because that's not an all-copper bullet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Really? our match burners, TGKs, all Sierra projectiles, G7 fits really well.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But G1 for copper.
G1 or G7. Doesn't really matter. They're about the same.
Okay. Any other, like, key features for this app that really help it stand out compared to everything else that's on the market that you want to point out before we start talking about field testing and things like that? There's a lot there, right? You can save all your rifles. You can save all your bullets, right? You can keep everything kind of in your profile.
I mean, talking about that, that's a pretty cool thing, right? Like in mine right now, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different rifles.
But to be fair, right? You know I don't think that that's necessarily unique, right, to ballistic calculators.
To have all those different ones?
Yeah.
No, it's not. I mean, I'm just saying, like, to be able to do that. And what I thought was really fun was as I kind of like played through that, right? It's very easy to switch. Like if you decide to say you're a hand loader and you want to test different bullets and stuff like that, you don't have to change your whole entire rifle lineup. You can just change it in your bullet, which again, probably isn't that, only to our app.
Yeah.
But it's very, again, I go back to the user interface of it, of just how easy it is. I'm a type of guy that if it's not easy for me to use, I'm not. Totally. I'm just not going to use it.
Yeah.
Right? It's just I'll go back to my basics of this is how I've always done it. Let's just roll with that. But that's where I really really enjoy this app. Like it's just been crazy easy to use.
Yeah, and similarly in that front, like when we started developing this, you know, with Mitchell coming in and the app developer who is phenomenal. They have made a monster two-headed team. It's been great. I kept pushing Mitchell, you know, what's different, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to launch an app just to launch an app and be another downloadable thing on the app store, right? Like, this has to be differentiated. It has to be unique. And it has to offer things that they can't find anywhere else. And so far, I feel like the feedback and what I know and what I've seen is we've nailed that. So I'm really excited for that.
Yeah.
It's just the start.
It's just the start.
I got some crazy ideas in the back of my mind.
Yep. We have a big, big roadmap, right? So stay tuned for coming months and years, right, of this thing, continuous improvement.
Another quick one that'll take just a couple seconds to do. Virtual rangefinder. Kind of a cool thing. So I have a range close to me, and it's kind of hard to get the exact range with your rangefinder. There's kind of targets all over, so you're not sure if I'm picking up the close target, the one behind the berm. But what you can do, you can walk out there, you can hit reset on your pin location, and then you walk away, and then it tells you how many yards away you are.
Oh.
So it's probably accurate within, I'd say probably a yard. I don't know how accurate GPS is. Generally, it's pretty dang accurate, but kind of nice to do, especially if you don't have a rangefinder. You're having a hard time picking something up. You just do that, walk to your shooting position, and then you can get the range.
Nice. I didn't even know that was a feature.
Yeah, so I have not used that.
Yeah.
That's an interesting
thing. That's a good add.
I had to use it. For a couple of years now, I've been using my range, and everything's just been a little bit off. I have to do truing, massage things. Well, I found out this year it's like 605 yards, 710.
Yeah.
494.
Yeah.
They're not exact.
So would you hit it with your rangefinder before shooting?
I just trusted it. I think on some I could get my rangefinder, but it's like, I don't know, the berm would be here and then the target would be 2-3 yards in front. So where are you hitting? You're hitting the target, you're hitting the berm, you're hitting the grass in front of it.
Yeah.
You could have walked to the target and ranged back to your shooting position.
I did that too, yeah. Oh. But yeah, it took me two years of kind of double check it. And yeah, I've been... Day has been wonky for a little bit here. Yeah,
nice.
So check that out at your range.
Okay.
Don't take it for granted.
Very cool.
If you get Dale out there with the tractor building the berm, he's not going to get it right.
Yeah, he definitely won't.
Don't trust Dale on the tractor.
Yeah,
no power tools.
Or with
no
goats. Power tools.
What?
Or with goats.
Yeah.
He was trying to buy me a goat. He was trying to buy me a goat while we were on Kodiak.
Yeah, Jamal. He was a cute goat. He's like a mini one. Goat? No, he's just a cute mini little goat.
He's got this Facebook group called like goatfinder.com or something like that. It was really weird. Him and Grinder were going back and forth about, it was like $100 goat that they wanted to buy. And they're like, oh yeah, we're just going to get it shipped to your house. And I'm like.
It was awesome. Jamal, aka Dale Jr.
Nice. I like it. Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Go into your field testing question.
Well, I mean, I want to hear some of, did you field test this year?
I have. I have field tested it. I would say I did it more on the range, right? Because I was, one, learning how to use it. Mm-hmm. And two, I'm just not fast enough yet to like use it in the field and then like suddenly pull off a shot, right? Like I'm just not there. So I did use it at the range. I also found it pretty easy to use, right? Once I realized like, okay, this is how you enter a bullet. This is how you enter your rifle. This is the important information. This is not, you can leave blank,
right?
Things like that. So I've used it, not extensively,
yeah,
right? But I found it pretty easily usable.
What about, it says a lot.
I totally agree. I totally agree, right? If I can figure it out, surely everybody that's listening is going to do a better job than me.
Yeah.
Surely.
Mitchell, what were some of kind of your stories of using it in the field this season?
Yeah.
Anything that stands out that's just like, man, like that was really, really nice through this app?
The angle feature is pretty sweet. We haven't talked about that, but it's got a little angle sidebar here. So you double tap, it says tracking, and then you take your phone.
I have not done that. I just
Dale.
Yeah. So I even knew that one.
Okay. So here's, I'm learning stuff on the fly, right? Because what I did when I had to do it was a 43 degree angle down shot this year.
To your goat.
On my mountain goat.
Yeah.
But I used my rangefinder, got my range, and it gives you like your degrees down that you're angling. So then I just did the scroll because you can also scroll. With
or
it.
You can enter it, right? Can you enter the angle?
I don't, you can slide it around.
Yeah. Slide it. Okay.
So I just slid it down to basically whatever 42 degrees, 43 degrees right there.
And yeah. We're going to need a goat hunter edition where it goes like negative 60.
Yeah.
It caps out at negative 45 right now.
Right. Yeah. I think negative 60 would be pretty nice, or like positive 60. I think that, for sheep hunting, for goat hunting, for any of these like extreme angles, I mean, heck, you could probably even do some of these NRL matches and everything, right? They shoot some pretty steep angles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I will tell you, a lot of guys will, in their range finders, it'll tell them, okay, 500 yards with the negative 20 degree angle. Well, the straight line distance is 450. So that's a quick way to do that. So you could just enter you never do both. You never do 20 degrees and then 450. You have to do, if you're flat, straight line, not yeah, straight line, yeah, horizontal. Basically
if your line of sight is a certain, right? Because that's what you're looking at, right? Is like, for example, the goat, right? It was a 43 degree angle down, but it was like a 200 yard shot. Well, I was really only shooting for like 120 yards because of that, right?
And
it was just doing that compensation for me.
Yeah.
Right. So you could just enter, you'd keep your angle at zero, and then you would enter 120 yards, what your rangefinder told you. But the most accurate way is to enter the straight line distance. So the 200 yards
right.
or the 500 yards, and then you go to that, whatever your angle is.
Yeah.
That's the most correct way to do it. The quick way to do it is just go to whatever your rangefinder tells you that horizontal distance is, but the most correct way is to do it in that.
Straight line and angle. Yeah,
it's a really good approximation, but if you're taking a long shot, definitely actually type in the angle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess that's what I'm saying, is that I actually changed it because the rangefinder that I have used, I've got multiple different rangefinders, but I take it off of that compensation mode, right? Because there's so many out there now that try to give you the compensation. Mm. But the way I look at it is they don't know what my speed is. They don't know all that type of stuff, right? So they don't know what I should really be doing. So I try to always just do, like, give me what my line of sight is, like direct line, and then I can just do it through the app and it's easier for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be more accurate.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you've taken the app on hunts. Mm-hmm. Right. How many did you take it on?
I don't even know. I had it, I think, in September. I was using it.
I mean, we were testing it in Montana this year too for bears.
That's right.
So we had it all the way back in
it was May.
Yeah.
Of playing with it.
That was really early version. That wasn't even, we had a different name at the time too.
Yeah.
So we couldn't take like screenshots or anything
because
we knew things were going to change, name was going to change, layout was going to change. So, but we were testing it.
The functionality. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it's changed a ton since then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But most recently, used it in Alaska And I only had a 300-yard shot, but I was able to use a little angle feature. It's like a 20-degree angle on the shot or something. So it didn't make a huge difference.
How much feature angle did you say?
Like 20.
Okay.
It might have been even less than that.
Yeah. Mine was pretty steep.
Yeah.
Mine was the opposite. Mine was like 35 up on that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you use it? It was
a 300-yard shot, yeah, and I just literally did it, and it basically made it where I had to, for what I should have dialed, I actually dialed basically like two clicks back.
Okay.
To be able to give me what I should have done, right? So you think about that, that's essentially half of an MLA, right?
Yeah.
So another fun fact for you, Anthony.
My name's not Anthony. That's okay.
Andrew.
I feel like he like actually messed up.
Yeah.
That wasn't even a joke.
He's in the moment, man. He's fired up.
In the moment.
How ready
he
is.
I know.
So you type in like a 450-yard shot.
Okay.
Says 7.7 MOA. You change your angle. So what the angle is changing is the amount of gravity that affects the bullet.
Okay.
So when you're shooting perpendicular, 100% of that force of gravity is going straight down. But when you're not shooting perpendicular, only a fraction of the force of gravity is getting applied to the bullet.
Gravity
is a weird
thing.
So that's why the angle is so important.
So as it gets steeper, either way, right, gravity affects it less. It's a really interesting thing.
So that dropped it 0.8 MOA.
Yeah. That is an interesting fact.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
I don't know why I said Anthony.
I don't either.
There is one Anthony in the plant, so
that's going to be Andy's goat. It will be Anthony.
That is a good name. We'll call it Tony.
Nice.
Tony and Jamal.
Yes. Yes.
I like this.
Yeah. Okay, so we've taken it on hunts.
Yep.
We've had sponsored shooters use it in matches.
Ambassadors testing it.
How much have we changed, I guess, based on the feedback? Like, have there been whole changes based on some of the feedback we've gotten? Or has
morning, I got bullied.
Okay.
Dale and Kagan walk into my office and threaten to beat me up if I don't change something.
Okay.
And guess what? I had to change it.
Okay. You care to share?
So basically it was Kagan that did it, because I've been actually asking for this for 3 or 4 months at this point. Okay. But he didn't care about my feedback.
Yeah. So when you, it's got a really nice slider bar where you can enter range and you can get close, and then you can do the little plus or minus and fine tune it. But then if you click on that range, it'll allow you to enter a value.
Yeah.
But right now it's like a slider.
Yeah.
So you got to slide
like
every, yeah. So
like
every
the
digit.
Price is Right wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So apparently they didn't like that. And I might have heard it from a few other people and kind of forgot about it.
Okay.
Like me, like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Probably
not
Dale.
So entering it now.
So now it's just a keyboard. You just
type it
in.
You
just enter. Because if you want to do it quick, you can just use the slider.
Yeah.
So.
And then some of the other basic features, right? I mean, just to be really clear about it, is like MOAs or mils. You could do feet. You could do meters, right? There's imperial, there's metric.
Mm-hmm.
Like the settings are pretty adjustable, right? To fit whatever your standards or expectations probably are. Is that fair to say?
This will work, worldwide, right?
Yeah.
So for anyone that's doing stuff and however that you shoot, this can work for you.
Okay.
Let's talk about the easiest place for people to find this, right? Because it's on the App Store and Google Store, Play Store, whatever. I don't
Android,
know. Whatever those Android guys use.
And the Android
store.
What
all the peasants use.
The green guys.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
The green texters.
So what are people going to want to type in to find this the easiest?
Well, I don't know.
So it's going to be True Data Ballistics.
Yeah.
Is the best way to type that in.
Yep.
You can type in True Data. It's going to pop up. But just understand that if you type in True Data Ballistics, that's going to get you there a lot faster.
Yeah.
Are we doing, will it be, I guess we don't know yet. So the name is True Data, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But are we going to put it as True Data Ballistics? I mean, it'll be in the, what do you call it? Hashtags. Keywords.
Yeah. And we'll put a logo up, right? So hopefully as you've been watching this, you're also seeing screenshots and video. Dale's rolling his eyes, right? Because he's going to have to do that. But you'll see the logo. You'll understand. At least put up a thumbnail of like what the app looks like. Yeah, I mean, like, right?
Which it'll be the thumbnail of that for this podcast and everything else anyway. Yeah. But yes.
You'll see the Sierra logo. You'll see the Barnes logo on it. It's a pretty, when you see it, you'll be like, oh yeah, of course that makes sense.
Right.
It's a Target with a bullet on it.
Yeah.
The logo.
Absolutely. Yep. Long time coming.
It has been a very long time
coming. Another launch day. We've had a lot of launch days here in 2025.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, you should slow down, Anthony.
And guess what? When this goes live, for anyone that's listening, you only got to wait a little bit longer for another launch day.
Yeah. Yep. 2026 turns around.
What?
And then we have more products coming out.
That's right. So,
no, this has been a very long time coming. Like we said at the beginning, probably over a year since we really started developing this and working on it. You've done a great job, honestly, kind of leading this. And as I was leading it and fumbling my way through it, I was very glad to be like, here you go, Mitchell. Like,
yeah, thank you.
Please take the reins of this thing.
Do we want to talk about kind of like why we want to launch it right here before the end of the year?
I mean, to me, really, it's we got it to a point where prior to hunting season, right, it wasn't quite there, right? And with an app like this, you could always delay, right? I mean, there's always improvements. There are always more bullets to add. Like you could not launch this forever, right? Yeah. And it would never be ready. So I would say before hunting season, it wasn't far enough along. You don't really want to launch it during hunting season because
nobody's
going to
switch.
Yeah, no one's going to play with it. The end of the year after hunting season, for the most part, has wrapped up prior to the next competitive season, right? Because PRS guys, NRL hunters, they're all going to, you know, use their ballistic calculator. So the end of the year when people are off from work, it's holidays, it's kind of a lull just in
maybe,
the shooting sports.
Maybe you're getting ready to get a new gun for Christmas that your wife doesn't know about yet.
That's right. That's right. You're going to gift yourself.
Right.
New gun, new ammo. It just felt like kind of a quiet time, and that's probably, we felt like, the best time to launch it.
Yep.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's going to be predator hunters. There's going to be people getting ready for spring bear, right? So like this gives you plenty of time before any of those spring hunts or kind of, like I said, predator type of stuff, obviously before big game season later in the next fall, right? It gives you plenty of time to really dive into this. Also give us the feedback that we're looking for, right? Like we're always trying to improve. And I think that's really important to us to, you know, drop it in the App Store or Google Play. Like, you know, you can always leave reviews there. Also, what I would ask from our podcast listeners that are downloading this, you know, make sure that you're paying attention. Give us the reviews. Go on for podcast listeners. We would love for you to go on the App Store or Google Play, whichever one, give it 5 stars, right? Like, give us a good review. That just helps it to be able to bolster it up and get it to more people.
Yeah.
Share it with your friends.
Yeah. Right? And if it doesn't earn that review, tell us why.
Right.
Right. So that we can make it better. And to that point, inside the app, you can actually send an email, right? There's a function, a contact function, right? Or support function.
Mm-mm-mm. Let's see.
There should be.
We can add it. We have emails.
Yeah, email, right? I mean, send an email, right? It's there in the app, right? So you can send an email directly from the app and say, hey, I liked it, thank you, or here's what I would change. Like, we're going to review all of them,
right?
Like we do with everything, right? So,
and if you're having any issues with that, right, you can always send an email to podcast@barnesbullets.com, and I will make sure that it gets to Mitchell.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Cool.
We're excited. Yeah.
Everybody good?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think people are going to like it.
I am impressed with your ability to podcast today. Aside from the whole Anthony thing, which is super weird, you came out of your shell a little bit.
That's good. That's good. I'm a slow learner, but
I guess we can have you on again soon.
No, we told him that he has to be on every single one.
Oh, that's right.
And that's why he's gotten to this point.
That's right. See, yes.
It's all a mind game.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate your time today. I hope everybody goes out and downloads the True Data Ballistics app from Sierra and Barnes. We think that you're going to love it. So thanks for listening to the Barnes Bullets podcast.